Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, Shane Todd. Before we get into this episode, which by the way is the first episode we've recorded in 2024, I want to plug our Patreon, patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. There's everything on there. What was the last thing we put up? The Lyric podcast with Paddy McDonald and Aaron Butler, which was great. Mysteries has been going out for a couple of weeks exclusively on there before it goes public. Live stream on a Friday, yada yada. patreon.com/teawithmepodcast.
Live Mysteries tickets available now.
Tickets are available now for a the first ever, and maybe the last ever, Live Mysteries podcast. We're going to find out if us selling tickets for a history podcast with me and Kieran Bartlett is fact, or whether that is just like a myth and it won't happen.
Where
but it's
good.
It's in Mandela Hall.
Gorgeous.
Which would be great for. When is it, Dan?
3rd of March. It's
correct.
A Sunday.
Correct. 3rd of March, is Sunday. It is.
What apparently. Do you mean mysteries? Are you actually going to be doing a mystery? They have a podcast called running. Mysteries.
We have a podcast. Mysteries. Yeah, so we're trying to separate. Well, we know what the intro to it is now. we talk about historical subjects, and then we go: is it a myth or is it real?
Oh,
it's mysteries.
Oh, I love this. I've never heard of this.
It's out.
You should go online.
On YouTube.
I should go online. Sometime.
Should go on the line.
Go on YouTube and check it out. It's on there.
Go on the YouTube. I shall.
Tickets are available. Where are tickets available, Dan?
Patreon.
Your Patreon is very well set up, though, isn't it?
Yes, and I do a great job of setting it all up.
Yeah.
I also need to plug my live show, ShaneTalkComedy.com, Dubai, Europe.
Or not Dubai, that is the question.
But please buy, because I need the money.
I thought you were saying you were going to be in Dubai.
Yes.
I am.
I made a joke.
Hey, do you want to start in
2024?
Jesus Christ. Hey. Not right to make a joke about that part of the world. So I'm doing loads of Europe shows. And then it's quite vague, but there's too many of them to remember. And I have a Liverpool date, a hot water rescheduled date, which is sometime this year. But I always forget to plug it. But hot water, the new hot water.
Plug
when
it,
is it, Dan?
Hot water.
March? Yeah. March some?
Do the Manscaped reading, I'll find out.
Do the Manscaped reading, you'll find out. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. Manscaped is the number one in men's below the belt grooming. They do it all. I'll be honest, I haven't really hit 2024 with my Manscaped products yet, but it's only a matter of time. I did like quite a close to Christmas one. So it'll be
you
like
jingled your balls for Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I keep it smooth down there, but in the new year I'm going to do it more regular. You know what I mean? Just, you know, say going to the bar, instead of going to the barbers once a month, go every other week.
Oh, right.
And that's, you know.
You mean you don't want to have grow back?
No, he does. He does.
He does grow back.
What are you going to do? A wee goatee or something down there?
No.
Are you saying you normally have it smooth, but you'd like to have it more grizzly? You'd like to visit?
No. I'm saying I want to keep on top of it more and not have time.
You want to have it more smooth, more often?
But not more smoother than it already is. I just mean
more
consistently smoother. You know what I mean?
I love the fact that it's so open now to be able to say, I remember trying to have this conversation with someone before, like fellaways, and I was like, I think me and you actually spoke about this to someone.
I'm not a fella.
No, with somebody. I didn't tell them, right? About like, if I have to do it, you should do it.
Hey, we can talk about pubes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, but that is, I don't like that word, but I admit.
No, do you?
The pubes, it's just how it comes out. Pubes.
Pubes.
You know, you prefer the word? Bush.
Babushka, babushka. My in-laws were actually really startled when they heard about how I went for a wax, right?
I thought you were about to say your in-laws have a lot of pubes.
Have a lot of pubes.
Yeah.
They are puby though. They do keep their pubes apart.
They are what?
Because you see, she was like, nah, babe, the bush is back. And I was like, no, it's not. Right.
This your mother-in-law?
This is my mother-in-law. I was like,
she's like, it's in style.
Anyway, this is still a Manscaped read.
I was going to say exactly.
This counts as the time for the
ad. He is actually trying to do a read, but it's fine.
You're right? Oh, sorry.
No.
You know, but we love it.
But sorry, your mother-in-law's
like, no, I don't do that. I go to a waxing place, and she was like, the waxing place that I go to makes you get on all fours.
Yep.
Right? And look, if you want a proper wax, you have to get on your elbows. Do you know what I mean? And you have to take your knickers off. And she was like,
be mental if you didn't.
No. I know, be mental if you didn't.
No fucking way, no way, no way. And I was like, yeah, that's just how you get a proper wax. But then I felt really violated for oversharing this. Now I'm telling thousands of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they went and like were talking about it and they were like, we can't believe that you do that. And
I was like, you're getting your arsehole waxed here.
Yeah, everything.
You're getting your arsehole wax blown out.
You know, at the start of this, I went, guys, we don't talk about anything modern 2024. Stop.
Stop. No, you do.
Yeah.
Well, you're hardly going to have everything else and then just weird a hurry beige day, yeah, is it?
Imagine going to keep that. You're like, everything bar that.
But that, you know.
But if you're a guy and you want to do
like
that kind of stuff.
Like kettles on the floor, do you know what I mean? No.
You go to manscaped.com, you just go tea with me for 20% off and free shipping. The link is in the description. Let's get into this episode. My guests are Dionne Doherty and Brona Diamond. This is the first episode where it's, I was going to say it's an all-female lineup, but then I remembered I am male.
Yeah, yes,
you know, I was
yes,
like, there's three of us. But
you have had two female guests at the same time, have you not?
For a live stream. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, we're the only two that matters.
Yeah, and you look very ominous and black.
We purposely coordinated. Mm-hmm. She's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, the Wicked Witch of the Northeast. Yeah, it's because we're only back from burying a body.
Well, there's big. There's something I thought you would have noticed about me, and you haven't.
Is it your new hair?
The quiff's gone.
Yeah. Oh my god! Yes, I wanted to say to you because I didn't know if it was that you'd had your teeth whitened or your hair was different.
Haven't had my teeth whitened.
I was waiting to talk about it on the podcast because I know how much you love your hair. Yeah. So, your hair's lovely.
Why did you decide to get a cut? New year, new me.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I want to keep people guessing.
Right.
I think I'm in a lane.
They know
I'm in
now.
A quiff lane.
They're done.
I thought you were like, I was going, who's Elaine? I didn't think you called your wife Elaine. I'm in Elaine.
Here, can I just say something? The quiff's still there.
There's a suggestion of
it. It'll be back next
it'll
week.
It'll be back, it'll be back.
The shadow of a quiff.
I always do this.
Your hair looks browner now.
I go, Coco, get rid of the quiff. And then I change.
Why's your dog doing your hair?
Shut up.
Yeah. What do you call a dog with a hair lip? Mark.
What's a hair lip?
Don't know whatever. Not even getting into it because I'll get fucking slaughtered on here.
Yeah. Bruna, are you still getting comments, do you think, from the last pod that we did?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I have them muted now, so I don't know, but every now and again one will sneak through. If I go on my Instagram and I look at, you know, your notifications and I see that wee thumbnail of me like this.
Yeah.
Where I'm like this.
What's happening?
We were having a discussion in one of the podcasts before about...
It was about funny Facebook statuses.
Oh, yes. No, I remember now. Yes, yes, yes. I know what clip you're talking about.
We were talking about...
And you're getting a lot of
racist people. Yeah.
Against you?
The only good thing about it was... Nobody was coming after me for it.
Yeah, that's true.
It was all toward, and I was sort of passing them on to you.
But the good thing about that is,
commenting her account.
You know, I searched absolutely everywhere, all over the house, and I still couldn't find a fuck to give, like, about the comments. Some of them were really funny, like, you know, I don't typically read comments, especially not like negative ones, but like most of them, they weren't about me in particular, they were just about people trying to prove that anyone who isn't from here is a murderer,
right?
You know, and I was like, right, okay, I see your point, I disagree with you, fuck away off around your own door, you dickhead. Yeah. And then most of them, you're like, see, people that write comments like that, can I just say, fight me. Right. Like, seriously, I'm looking.
We're putting fuel on the fire.
There was a couple that I went. There was someone that wrote, she's banging a non-Irish, right? You know who you fucking are, bitch, right? She's banging.
Talking about your husband?
No, talking about my husband. She's banging a non-Irish. And I went, what kind of woman? All right. I'm not even particularly, no, fuck off you. You know, I'm not prude. But I was like, okay, let's look at you, bitch. And I was like, well, that's funny because you're banging nobody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
face on you like a monster. Do you know
banging
what I mean?
Banging a non-Irish.
She's banging a non-Irish. That's why she's saying things
banging
like
banging a non-Irish sounds like...
like I don't bang.
Like in Jamaica, they might say, that sounds like code for like smoking a joint.
Yeah.
She's banging a non-Irish.
She's banging
like
a non-Irish.
Like a beer or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
A non-Irish.
So I was just like,
suggest that you're only allowed to bang Irish people.
You're only allowed to bang Irish people. And if you don't, then therefore you are... The only reason that you're not racist is because you bang people that aren't from here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I said what I said and I didn't stutter.
Do they know you've four kids and your banging days are over?
Yeah, man. Banging days are over.
Yeah, totally.
Why does a bride smile on her wedding day? because she knows she's giving her last blowjob. It's, you know. Don't need to do that.
Do you know if you had any recent bad blame game comments or anything like that? Or remember the guy, like last time he was really disappointed that you said fuck?
Yeah, that was on Twitter. There was somebody was like, this is not very ladylike that she said fuck, but everyone else in the lineup had also said fuck, probably more than me as well.
I agree.
Yeah, but it's not very ladylike. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get that? It's not very ladylike.
Yeah, but then all the guys jumped in and were all
fuck off.
yeah, but I don't read the comments anymore and things. It's too much. Although if it's anything to do with here, if it's anything to do with Catholic or Protestant, these people just argue amongst themselves.
Yeah.
They're not really arguing. They know how to do with you. A lot of just like factual, non-factual, historical shite below most of my stuff. Mm. And I don't really.
If you like factual, non-factual, historical shite, Mysteries Live in Mandela Hall. I've started putting that. I haven't even done it today, which is a bad start because I said I'm going to do it every day this year.
You're Paolo Nutini?
I'm going to do an impression of Paolo Nutini doing an impression of someone. And it'd be different every day. And I announced that I was going to do this with another one of my great Paolo Nutini impressions. And more than one person commented on it by being like, he doesn't sound like this.
Yeah.
So people are like getting annoyed with my Paolo Nutini impression.
Yeah.
Being like, it's not perfect.
Why do the Paolo Nutini impression? I need to hear it.
I don't want to do it. It's really good.
It is very good, actually. Yeah.
I want to hear it. It'll be on his Instagram every day for the next
day. Yeah.
Do you know what the trick is? He goes really loud and then sometimes straight away just really quiet, right? So he'll go like,
Yeah.
Like when you're at mass and you say the Lord's Prayer, right? And then you're the only one in the whole mass that says Amen.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking? The drop that off when you're in mass and you go, Amen! You sound like this crazy fucking born-again Christian.
I went to a funeral a couple of years ago and I hadn't been into mass in about 20 years and they changed all the prayers.
I had to trick us, to trick the ones that don't go all the time.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is.
It must be, because then you're all, it's like, you know, you're sing, like a child sing along to it, you're all in Hail Mary, filled with and they changed it and you're like, and they changed when you kneel and when you stand.
Do you know what you do? You find the pensioner. Right? The one that's eating the chapel railings, the closer the front, the bigger the cunt, right? And you look at them and you just go, when I move, you move. Just like that. Like whenever they stand, you know it's time to stand.
Jesus, the new prayers have become really modern.
Yep. Honestly, that's it. It's like when you see a pensioner at a bus stop, you know there's going to be a bus soon because they actually look at the timetable.
No, but they're there like half an hour early.
Yeah. Right enough. Wearing a coat in the summer.
They're just there waiting for someone to talk. They're not even waiting for a bus.
My ma, not a pensioner yet, but has full bus anxiety. Like,
what do you mean?
She doesn't drive anymore because like she hates driving. So whenever she comes to visit me, she gets the bus from Derry down to my house. And like, so the bus is at 2 o'clock. She will drop me off at like half one. And I'd be like, you're going to be standing for a long time. She's like, but if anyone else turns up at that bus stop, I want to be ahead of them getting on the bus.
I think our generation plays the game a bit with time. You know what I mean? Like if we're meeting at 2 o'clock, we're all aiming to be there at two o'clock. Whereas the old school generation are like, my dad will be there at 11.
Yeah, if patience. You're on time, you're late. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, if you're on time, you're late.
If you're on time, you're on time.
Yeah.
No, Dana was 7 minutes late today.
7 minutes late, which is a real good day for me.
Thank God, because I was there one minute before you.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, so that was good.
But I think that, because we've no patience.
No.
Our generation has no patience. So we obviously are like, why would I waste 8 minutes of my... If I'm in the car, I'd be like thinking in my head, what can I get done when I'm driving? Even though obviously I'm driving, but I'm like, what things could I get accomplished whilst I'm driving? Because I'm bored of just driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I listen to audiobooks.
I'm trying to achieve the perfect falsetto.
Oh, yes, you are. I tell you what, with your palm balls dropped since the... I believe in it.
I'm getting them down next week.
Are you?
I'm getting them brought back.
You did hit those high notes.
He really did, didn't he?
And you're a great singer too. You were hating that.
Was it not just the most fun of all time?
It was also like, do you know what I think? I think most of us secretly wanted to be pop stars at one point in our lives.
Oh, definitely.
So we all got to do it for like 3 minutes.
We did.
Do you know what I mean?
And everybody beforehand was like, you know, talking about like, you know what? It'll just be a good laugh and like, you know, this and that. And people that had done it before were like, it's a bit of crack. See, everyone before they went on, they look like, see, like in Gladiator. Before he goes out for like the last battle, people were just sitting there like, me too.
In
like,
the zone.
I was Andrew Ryan came up to me just before I went on, who was hosting, and was like, man, everything's going to be all right. And I was like, that will stress me out way more. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
He's like, it's going to be fine.
I was just standing, going over my first two lines the whole time, which is what I do before any show or any gig I go. If I just keep repeating the first two lines in my head when I got it, it'll all be fine, hopefully.
I had your song stuck in my head like all Christmas though.
Oh, did you?
I was going boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom.
Even I thought you were about to do boom, 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 boom. And I was like, I did not do that song.
No.
You heard your brothers?
The Nicki Minaj
your brothers?
Yeah.
The Venga Boys?
Oh, right. But then there's boom, boom, boom. One of the most explicit, low-key explicit songs you'll ever hear.
Is it?
See, because we got the clean version. Then a few years ago on Spotify, I came on a playlist and there's an explicit version. And I was like, oh, where was this during my childhood?
Do you ever see the video that went viral years ago of the wee girl singing it in her bedroom? She saw boom, boom, boom. Let me hear saying. She goes, oh, wee ho.
No.
It's just oh, let me hear say, oh, wee ho.
Right, okay. To Google whenever I get out of here.
This is like, low hanging fruit. And say, like, oh, my dad used to sing the wrong words or something. But no one's ever changed the meaning of a song more. You know the Bill Withers song, Lovely Day?
Yes.
Brilliant song, but like, just want to look at you, I know it's going to be a lovely day. What a beautiful song. My dad, I caught him on singing it like a few years ago, and he was singing Lonely Day. So my dad was like, just want to look at you, and I know it's going to be a lonely day. And I was like, you've got to change that.
Completely missed the point.
You've got to change that.
I look, my sister is the queen of misheard song lyrics. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know the way you were saying we all wanted to be the pop star? Do you know what I mean? Like, we all did that with the hairbrush. But my sister was standing in the room before, which we all shared, but weren't allowed to go in because it was her time to shine in front of the mirror. And she was singing that song, Life, Oh Life.
Oh, yeah.
But she was going, Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? And my elder sister went, I dare you to burst in and go, It's life! And I thought it would be so funny if I did that, and I ended up getting hit up the head with a hairbrush. But it's called, and do you know another one that she did was, Upon a hill across a blue lake, that's where I had my first holiday.
That's what she thought the word.
Oh, well, that's
right. No, but it's funnier when it's just subtly wrong. Like, it's just slightly wrong.
Yeah. But I do this talk with Insana, but I don't mind saying it because I've ran it under the ground. But my stepson genuinely, like, came to me one time and he was singing, Stena Line.
Yeah. Stena Line. Which, by the way.
Was he actually?
How they haven't picked that up.
They need to.
Yeah, that's
mental.
Great. I know.
Can I say this? I was on the Stena Line recently.
Right.
And it was great because we paid the extra to go in the lounge.
Aye. And if you get a cabin and all, great time. Did you overnight?
No, because this is only a Stranraer.
Oh, right. Okay.
You wouldn't be getting a cabin for that.
Oh, right.
See the Stena Lounge, the Stena Plus Lounge?
Is that like with the cinema and all?
That's for everyone. Oh, this is it? I'm talking like,
oh, that's for comfy everyone.
Seat. I'm he's talking like loungers.
He's like, not for the scumbags, just for.
I'll say this, the buffet was awful.
Right.
There was not enough at it.
What was good about it? The loungers?
The loungers, there was an electric door, you know, a door, you press the door.
Oh, an electric door.
There was a wee button. There was a Star Trek door that you go, whoosh.
You didn't have to open it yourself.
Yeah. The door's open. Shane, what was the best thing about the standalone? Electric door. He just pushed a button and the door opened.
Did the toilets also
so
flush
the glider?
You didn't have to do that.
I was there for a whole hour and a half, just open and close, open and close.
Wow.
But it was great. I loved it. There's wee mock fireplaces on.
Oh, is there? Mock fireplaces?
Just like a LED screen, a TV, YouTube.
But it was brilliant. I'd jump on it just to come back.
How long were you on it for?
Ideally just come back instead of getting off at Stranraer, wouldn't you?
We went on, got a car, and then brought the car back. Switched cars.
Oh.
Which looked dodgy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Switched cars and then straight back on. Because I'd say the staff, when you come straight back on, they're going, what was he doing?
Yeah.
What were you doing in Stranraer for 27 minutes?
Yeah.
There's nothing to do.
Just pushing buttons.
Just pushing buttons.
I do why it's that because of pushing buttons. Pushing buttons.
My dad, funny enough, the furry that's been going to Stranraer, he was talking about how.
By the way, what's funny is he says, my dad the furry, and I love that.
My dad the furry.
It sounded like you went, my dad the furry who's been going to Stranraer.
For pride, every year. It's the truth.
So your dad goes to Stranraer a lot?
No, he sent his friend to Stranraer on.
What, like, actually, like.
What happened? Have you
done something bad?
They were on a
banish you to a strand. It
was stag do. A stag do.
Right.
But back in the day when you used to have the stag do the night before the wedding, they all thought it would be dead funny if they got their friend really drunk and then put him on the ferry.
On its own?
On its own. Passed out drunk, put him on the ferry, and he didn't make it to his wedding the next day because he got picked up at the border and he didn't have his passport or anything, so they like detained him in Scotland and they kept him in jail for about 3 days.
That's top level banter.
Until, but obviously back then weddings were just like you get married in the pub. What
was his crime? Undocumented? Because he didn't
He was on the ferry and he was probably drunk hammered and disorderly and he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, he's probably like, why the fuck? Yeah. I'm getting married in the morning and these guys have put
this
me on.
This would
the
have
ferry.
Been probably like early 80s maybe.
Right.
So
it'd have been like your man.
Late 70s or yeah. early 80s. Yeah.
He's getting married, go love.
I mean, he was only getting married in the Whiteford or something, so it wasn't like they lost loads of money. But yeah, apparently his missus was raging.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely raging, yeah.
See all that banter is maybe more like old school now of like people getting tarred and feathered before a wedding.
Yeah.
There's something like massively wrong with that, and because the people who do it sometimes you see it on Facebook the other time.
Culties.
They're too like
aggressive about it. Only culties. It's only people in the country do that. They stick you in the back of a trailer, they cover you in shite, look like shaving foam, and chuck shit at you.
Eggs,
flour.
My dad's mates tied him to the back of a lorry and drove him to his in-laws' house before the wedding. And he got his wee dick out now.
What?
Going up a carriageway.
No.
Yes.
Hold on. This happened to your dad or your daddy's friend?
My dad. This happened to my dad.
They took your daddy's knickers off.
No, can I just say, he arranged it. No.
Yeah, he arrived, knickers must off. Have,
they must
take
have.
Take me to the ferry.
And that's what I'm saying. Bruno's dad.
Yeah.
Now,
hold on. This wee was naked on the back of the lorry.
He was naked, so they must have taken his wee pants off and all.
Oh, bless it.
I know.
But do you know
said
what,
is
what
wee
they
dick,
do?
And it's hereditary, so you don't say that. You go, it's big dick.
Yeah. It's not hereditary, because I've seen my dad's and my brother's. No, I'm joking. Whenever. That's
what she's definitely from
what
the country.
They do though is they come in and grab you out of your house, like they don't, there's no like pre-warning, like, you know, we're gonna do this funny thing to you tomorrow. They like, you'd be sitting watching TV at night and like you might think it's like the fucking paramilitaries or something. They just come in and they just scoop you out of your house.
That's what we did, the joyriders.
So why is your dad sitting naked in the house?
Yeah,
that's true.
They stripped him down. Yeah, but you think tar and feather the joyriders, trail them out of the house and tar and feather them. Yeah, so basically joyriding and getting married is the same thing.
Yeah.
But also, you don't know he's stolen a saxo or he's getting married.
Yeah, we drive past and you're like, we're going to beep anyway, but we don't know if he's a bad boy. Yeah.
We don't know what's beep, going on here. Beep beep. Either beep beep aggressively or beep beep. Yay.
I hate all that. That like embarrassing, you know. It shaming is. People and all.
Yeah, or what? Like,
there's so many
like the
things
stocks.
About weddings though that make me like. Even whenever I was planning my wedding, there were so many things I didn't want to do just because I was like, I
get married.
Get married. Yeah.
Being the main one.
Just like I wasn't even going to get a photographer until about 2 months before, and
really?
Like my sister-in-law was like, "You absolutely have to have a photographer," and I was like, "No, I was all take a couple." It was just like I was like, "I don't really care to get." And then
you started a choir like the day before or something, did you?
We had a choir at the wedding.
Right.
To do Christmas songs. Like we wanted to have like loads of entertainment.
We got married in June.
We got married in June, yeah. Do we have our child's called Winter? Born in April. We'd like to.
Did you actually get married at winter or June? Please tell me the truth, because I feel like an autistic person.
No, we got married at the end of November.
I don't know if anybody's telling the truth.
We got married at the end of November. Also not Christmas, but we had Christmas.
Not Christmas.
Right.
Christmas themed wedding.
Aww.
Yeah.
But even like wedding cars, wedding cake, didn't do a wedding cake. I hit the cutting of the cake. It makes me want
to. Do you know what I did for wedding cars? Actually.
Like, do I vote them?
Close. I got black taxis, but they were white. I was like, that's funky. I kind of like that. That's
where did you get married?
That's different. In a chapel.
No, where? like
your reception?
Oh, our reception was in the Balmoral. And
I didn't know you could get a white black taxi.
Yeah, it was really
black
cool.
Black taxi doesn't mean black taxi.
I know, it just means big
just,
car.
But it's the way. I saw them because I was like, I don't want to do the whole wedding car thing. I don't even know if I'll have wedding cars. And then I was thinking like, you know the way you can get wee minis and stuff?
Yeah.
I was thinking, will it do that? And then I saw these white taxis and I went, that's funny.
The mini
that's
things where like it I'll doesn't do really, showing up as Mr. Bean doesn't really scream.
Yeah, you wouldn't have got my dress into it.
Yeah.
Nobody, like I, considering the fact that I'm basically, I am a goth, I had the biggest, puffiest wedding dress. I was like, if I'm going to be a fucking princess for the day, then I'm going all out. I was like,
I forgot my trousers on my wedding day.
What?
Yep. Did you do your dad?
Your dad?
Turn up
your
dad?
No, I, because I stayed at my dad's house the night before.
He's in it's a no trouser policy.
That's it. We'll have to bring him up the carriageway on the way here, lads.
So he goes, so it was like the morning of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And the photographer showed up at my dad's house, and like best men were there. You know, we're all, and my brother and all, we're all getting ready. Mm. And then they're taking photos of that. And I was like, nobody panic. I don't have my trousers at the house.
Right.
So I have to leave a bit early and go and get them. Seeing situations like this, why people panic.
I wouldn't do it.
What's that going to achieve?
No.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out. I go, listen, it's happened.
Yeah. I bet you if it was one of your groomsmen that forgot their trousers, you'd have been going, fuck shit.
I'd have freaked out.
Would you have?
Yeah.
But no.
No. Because even in my wedding too, we did this thing where we every chair had a balloon attached to it. And they were like helium balloons, like they were high up, so it looked nice in the room, but you could still sit like your balloon wasn't on your head.
Yeah.
And everyone got pins, and together they popped the pins, and everyone won a prize.
Really?
And Santa came out and gave out prizes.
You did Oprah Winfrey at your wedding.
I won for everyone in the audience.
Yeah. So there's no prize in the balloon?
It's a little piece of paper to tell you what you got. And Santa came out and gave people bottles of Prosecco and Queens of Quality Street and Christmas Eve bits and pieces I got there. You know what I mean? Class. Shortbread and all. I thought it was cute. Anyway, but your man had arranged all that, and you know, cut the wee pieces of paper and got all the presents and organised Santa to come and do it. Like the actual Santa as well. And then your man, like the coordinator of the wedding, came in to me like half an hour before the wedding, and he, like before the reception bit of it, and he's all, listen, we can't find the helium. And I was all... And I literally was just like,
oh, you saying the helium's on the loose somewhere?
So, meanwhile, Sean's are like, what is it?
I was like, listen, I don't give a shit, Grant, forget about it. And he's all, no, let's just delay the reception by half an hour, and I'm going to send people out to get more helium. Oh, and he saved the day. But my point is,
where do you go on short notice to get helium?
And also, we got married on a Sunday. Swear, there was a helium shop nearby.
No, there's not.
There wasn't. There was a shop that sold helium. It was like a party balloon place, right. And they were able to get helium.
I don't panic in situations like that. One of my resolutions this year is to panic.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna start panicking.
You're too laid back.
You should just like have a day with my kids. You'll know, that'll be no bother.
I won't panic.
Once. No, mine are mad. Like I was telling Dan earlier about Christmas morning.
Set the scene, because mine are too young. My 3-year-old gets it, 1-year-old doesn't. So Christmas is pretty chilled at the minute.
Right, well, you are in for it, because they're horrible, Shane. They're just not nice people.
Right.
Like, they turn into wee trolls. Not all of them. But I have 4 boys, as you know, and the youngest 2, still adorable. Like, the youngest is 2, and then there's a 6-year-old, and then there's an 8-year-old, and a 12-year-old. So... gradual levels of annoyance. And the 2 youngest were so excited for Santa, and the 8-year-old's at that age now where he's like, I'm gonna hedge my bets here and see what the crack is. Whereas they're 2 aware.
I was 15.
But I still let on there was a tooth fairy just so they could get money, like, whenever I was about 13.
It was just your dad.
Yeah. I pulled out my own tooth before because I wanted a pound, but that's another story. So
tell it.
Christmas. Right, Christmas morning. I'm staying on point here. I said, I'm going to go into the living room and I'm going to record your faces when you come in the door and see what Santa left you. So I was sitting there ready to record. In case you don't believe me, I'll show you it after. And all you heard was this raucous fucking murder out in my hallway. And it was the eldest and the 8-year-old going, ah, he shoulder barged me. And then they started punching one another. And then there was fingers thrown in the air and all this. And then we had to basically cut camera off, talk to them all, try and calm them down, tell them that they were bastards and ungrateful and all the rest of it. And then
sit them down to tell them they're bastards. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastard.
I should have done what my ma did, just went out, fired 2 shots in the air and told me Santa was dead. But it was like, no, he's already been.
What your ma did?
Oh yeah. Santa's not coming this year, love, he's fucking dead.
Did she have a gun?
I can neither confirm nor deny. It might have been firing blanks, but my dad sure wasn't, because she was left with 4 of us and fucking no man. But there was murder. And yes, I did pull out my tooth. My ma was working. Do you remember, you know the way nowadays kids are like, you weren't here for me, you didn't pick me up at exactly the time I was supposed to be picked up at school. Right.
I was back then, they'd be like, we'll pick you up sometime on Wednesday.
Yeah. Like, just go home and wait.
And by Friday, you're there. Just...
You're like, they'll be here.
Yeah.
Latchkey kids. Do you know what I mean? You went in, you fucking helped yourself to food, you made the dinner and all the rest of it. I went home one day and my ma was working and I'd been locked out of the house. And I was really bored and I had nothing to do. So I had like a molar and it was the last of my baby teeth. And I thought to myself, I could get that out.
Was it loose?
It was a wee bit loose. So I just sat and dug out my tooth, thinking, when she gets home, I'm going to have to get money from the tooth fairy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then I noticed that the bathroom window was open a crack. So I climbed through it, this tiny wee window, knocked over my ma's good bonsai tree, which broke into bits. And then whenever I was scrubbing this is a day in my fucking life as like an 11-year-old.
I love that your ma has a shit bonsai tree and a good bonsai tree.
Or good bonsai tree. And I knocked it over, broke it. And then whenever I was washing my tooth, it fell down the sink and she wouldn't believe me.
But she's not looking at the hole in your mouth.
No, she was just like, you fucking broke my bonsai tree. Get the bed, I get you.
I'm worried. My 2-year-old's obsessed with the tooth fairy at the moment. And I had to explain. She keeps going, what do they do? She's also sadistic. And I'm like, well, they collect teeth. And she's like... And where do the teeth come from? And I'm all, your mouth,
people.
I don't want. And I can see her being all, how does it get from my mouth to the pillow? I can see her being like
the weirdest thing. Like
Ferber shelf.
I always tell them, make sure you don't fall asleep with your head under the pillow, or you'll wake up and the tooth fairy will have stole all your teeth. Yeah, is that what
sleep
happened to
well.
Grandma?
Night, night, little bastards.
Goodbye. Scar the shit clean out of them.
What are your resolutions for 2024? Do you have any?
I want my resolution to be, there's no gatekeepers to this because I don't want anyone else to decide my fate, but I am genuinely going to spend this year just working on stand-up as a priority. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Because
what do you mean there's no gatekeepers?
As in, like, nobody in charge of that.
Right, nobody holds you to it.
Yeah, and no. As in, like, that's not like, oh, my goal is to be on 8 out of 10 Castles Countdown. Somebody else is in charge of that. My goal is to just improve as a stand-up. That's right. It. It's quite simple. And also to... I stopped breastfeeding.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
You bastard.
No, why, Bruno, are you hoping to get a taste?
No, I still have mine. I still milk myself.
Oh,
I
can still get milk.
Yeah, I still get milk, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want some milk for your tea with me?
Yes,
you can have tea from me.
Imagine that was a requirement I had to every female guest.
Provide lactate.
Listen, just a WhatsApp 5 minutes before you show up. Listen, hope you don't think this is weird.
Yeah.
Can we have some of your breast milk?
It's really sweet, apparently.
It is. It's far nicer than formula if you taste both of them.
It's really
Sean
nice.
Sean will tell you.
Yeah. I'll stick to the almond.
Curtis has tried it.
Yeah, you can. Not
I look like a guy who stopped breastfeeding at 19.
Yeah.
Bitty.
Yeah.
That never did me any harm.
I feel like for the past five years, I've either been doing fertility treatment, pregnant, having a baby, just had a baby, or breastfeeding. And I feel like this is the first year in years that I like own my own body again. Yeah. So I am going to spend this year working on my health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Did you do a wee sister?
Preach.
I do preach. It for themselves.
So that's it. Yeah. Bitch got her own body back. As in, I can now do it. Because I literally was chained to a baby for years.
How's
you been?
I know, yeah. It's great whenever you just like, oh, that's you. Right, no more.
I know.
You can't.
It's great.
Bruno, what are you going to do this year?
I actually, this is going to sound like I'm just copying Jonah, but mine was that I actually am going to do a full show. Because I've been like gigging for ages and... I did a full show whenever it came about because I had that much material that I was just throwing about that I did a show. But I only did it once. And I was like, why didn't I?
You're going to
do
a tour?
So I'm going to do a tour.
Good for you. Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I'm going to do a wee tour because I thought, why not? To be here and in turn, enjoying myself.
Because your policy with stand up was you do it if someone, like, if anyone got in touch and was like, do you want to come do a gig?
Yep,
you do it.
That's
you
the
would
way
never.
I was. I was never proactive about it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to be more proactive about like actually doing tours and gigs and like full shows.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? And then putting material to bed, because some material that I do, like I've decided now whenever I'm doing material, I get up and I kind of just decide before I go on what I decide to do. Do you know what I mean?
That would give me such anxiety.
But I'm
I
just...
Can't live
I think there's a middle ground.
There's a middle... There like you have prepared stuff.
Yeah.
But it depends on the crowd,
what
stuff you're going to throw out there.
Yep.
And like,
but I would need to know, these are the sort of 8 bits I'm going to do tonight. Yeah. Do you know, like, before I arrive?
Yeah.
And if, but you can tell if, like, that bit didn't go well, they're not going to like us next bit on that holiday, and that'll skip that and replace it. But I would need to have a general, like, plan of a set list.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be like that, but more so now. I'm
I love
like
looking at people's set lists.
Depending on
words.
Just see, random words.
I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast recently. When I did Chicago, I had an opener. And I said to him before I went on, and this is so easily done, and I'm sure I've either done this to someone or I could easily do it.
Hmm.
I went, you do me a favour, at the end of your set, leave my set list, because it's an hour-long show, so and I have bullet points.
Yes.
Six bullet points or something of what the show is, but I know the show inside out, so I don't
just
need it.
Just a safety blanket.
But I'm like, safety behavior. You could stick that on the stool.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. And he's like, no worries. I walked out on stage, no set list on the stool.
Oh.
And I knew, I was like, don't worry. In my head, I'm going, don't worry. You know the opening bit easily.
Mm-hmm.
I do the opening bit. And there's like a bridge between two bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the next bit is.
What your segue is.
And I think I spent 90 seconds saying nothing but talking the whole time.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? It was like,
you're in your head thinking.
Yes, it was like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it's all because that wasn't there about you. If it was there, you wouldn't have even had the
exactly, but that's what I mean.
Well, the opposite happened to me, because I never took a set list on stage, and I took on once, and it was one of the early gigs I did after having Rocky, because I was so tired. I was like, and I was doing like maybe 25, 30 minutes or something. So I need to have a set list. And the one time I ever took a set list on stage is the one time I went, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I had to go look at it. You were at that gig.
Oh, that was in Crumlin?
Thanks for remembering my blanking.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
We still
talk
about
that one where you didn't talk?
No,
you
were shit. No, no.
Yeah, that night.
I wasn't there through your set, though.
Even ruder?
The only reason that I remember is because me and you were talking and I hadn't seen you, and I was like, you look fucking fabulous.
I didn't just start just having a baby. So I had it all written down, and because it was there, I used it. And if it wasn't there, so I'd be the opposite.
I don't remember you blanking, though.
I knew I was filling time when I said the sentence that was that. Literally went from there, so that was that, and then this is it.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's coming.
I
it's
actually
coming.
Do just
the next
go.
Bit coming up right at you.
I would people go like,
here we go.
So
Chicago makes some noise.
What else will I tell you about?
Yeah.
Or sometimes I have actually went, what was I saying there? You know, but like a proper ADHD fucking moment. But luckily for us, Billy Connolly is the fucking master of the coming back to the point. And so it's a thing now. Whereas, like, I will do that. I'll be like, so anyways, I was talking.
I remember in the pavilion once, someone blanked and heard him go to the audience, went halfway through a set, went, any other crack? And I was like, you know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking
AOB.
About.
AOB.
Yeah.
AOB. Yes. Like, there was somebody actually the other week that said something like, it went dead quiet, and it went, that wasn't very good, was it? And that was the biggest laugh
you know
I
what?
Got out of the
you
audience.
You get one of them in a
you
set.
You do get one of them.
That wasn't funny, or like, I'll not do that bit again.
Yeah.
But if you do it more than once, then the audience goes, oh, you're right, that wasn't very good.
Yeah, because if you can do it and you can go, I have just written that, that's not very good. I'm gonna go home working that, guys, it's fine. And that's fine. And you might get a bit of a laugh in that.
Yeah.
But if you continue to, after each bit, go, that was also a shit bit. They're going to be like, yeah, you're a shit bit.
Or you go, that killed it everywhere else. It's your fault.
Do you watch Yellowstone?
No, but I watched the first episode. My friend is obsessed with it.
Stay in.
Really?
Stay in.
I just saw a horse, horse, and I'm putting down.
Stay in with Yellowstone.
Oh. Is it that good? She
it's
keeps telling
thing?
Me to stick
changing
with it.
Changing my life.
Kevin Costner. And then there's the indigenous people that own a casino, and it's all like following the stories of these people.
Now, for people that watch or listen that are actually into it, me and Dan were on a conversation over the new year, and we were talking about, who would you be in Yellowstone?
Right.
And this won't make sense because you haven't seen it, but Dan, maybe could you bring something up? Dan told me if I was anyone in it, because here's the thing, this will mean nothing to you. If I'm anyone in it, Dan, maybe bring up Casey first. If I'm anyone in it, I'm Casey.
Uh-huh.
I'm Casey Dutton.
Who's Casey?
Is that a
girl
or a boy?
What one are they?
Just because Casey's a... No, that maybe wasn't definitely. A dick.
Yeah, Casey could be a girl's name, but I am
no,
a boy.
No, but
I identify
just, like,
as a boy.
But sometimes you say, like, your mummy or an auntie or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm playing your game. I'm asking you a question because you've said a girl's name.
No, it's a boy. It's a boy.
Fiona just wasn't being a heteronormative type thinker there. She was like, well,
she never
I wasn't thinking.
She never is.
You know, that was good. But so is...
So
you know,
I'm Casey. Yeah, I'm one of the siblings.
Right, okay.
I'm Casey, definitely.
So you have watched it?
I watched the first episode.
Right, okay.
And then
who are you in it then?
But Dan told me I'm someone else.
Give us a little bit of Casey's sort of personality and the kind of guy he is.
So Casey is, he's like me, he's quite withdrawn. He's a bit of a lone wolf.
Right.
Right.
He keeps himself to himself.
And he, do you know what he is? Do you know what he is and what I am?
What? Absolutely nothing like Casey.
I've got a bit
of dirt in your forehead.
I brood.
You're broody.
I brood a little bit.
Has he just been for his ashes? Is it Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, don't take the piss out of Casey, right? He's one of the best.
You brood.
I brood a little bit.
I can't see a similarity there, though.
Like,
are you thinking this is your personality? You think you look like him?
I just think
you do look like him.
I think I could play that role.
Yes.
Right, is no. what I mean.
Okay. Absolutely not,
Dan.
Right, Dan. Take
you're here's the thing as well. Can I say this? I know in your heart, and in your heart, as a producer of Tea With Me, it's a different matter. In your heart, you think if I was anyone in Yellowstone, I'd be Casey. And you know I know that.
I love how you just said he keeps himself to himself. You literally go on a stage and talk about your life for a living.
And I do podcasts.
How is that?
Do 12
anything?
Podcasts a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also he's just like...
I know.
But Dan then said, no, if you were anyone in Yellowstone... you'd be Jimmy. This is Jimmy.
Right, show me Jimmy.
Jimmy's a fucking idiot. Jimmy's a dweeb.
Does Jimmy need an ambulance?
They
pick, is it Jimmy or Timmy?
They pick on Jimmy.
Stop.
I'm not Jimmy.
You could be Jimmy.
I'm not Jimmy.
Wait, okay. What's your argument for him being
Jimmy's
Jimmy?
The runt of the litter.
He's a bit of a little geek, sort of. Yeah, just loser of the... He gets basically kicked out at one point. Yeah.
Right, so you're Jimmy.
That's very terrible. Unfair.
That I'm is un- but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
God love him.
I know he doesn't mean it.
No.
So I can appreciate him saying it, but I know he... Because this guy, hero worships me.
Aye. I love the way there. That's a very accusatory finger. That
it is, and I have long fingers, so it makes a double point.
Yeah. Who would you get to play you if it was a movie of you?
Yeah,
who would you get to play you?
He'd want to probably play himself.
Millie...
Bobby Brown?
Probably. Yeah? Would she be you?
That is such a shout.
Thanks, she'd be brilliant.
She's a fucking brilliant
You know
actress.
What she'd need to do for
she's
as well?
Versatile.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yes. She'd be great. What about you, Rhoda?
Ah, God. I don't know. Uncle Fester or something. Some dude that plays him. Danny DeVito. It'd be the right height.
Danny DeVito would be brilliant.
Danny DeVito would be
Danny DeVito
Brona
as Brona Diamond.
Yeah, definitely.
Who would play you? Do you know what? I know people, right? And sometimes you just got to say it. I'm saying with Dan, I know Dan thinks I'm Casey Dutton.
Right.
I know in your head, you think there's someone you think should play you, but you don't want to say it because it's not a funny answer.
Why, Jennifer Lawrence? Hi.
Jennifer Lawrence? You're right, okay. Yeah. She's very humble.
I knew that. You were like, who would play you? And you're like, I have no idea, apart from the person I think should
Jennifer
play
Lawrence,
me.
Jennifer Lawrence, I've sent a few emails.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I've written the screenplay.
Far off a few. We're still in talks.
In a world down the Glen Shane Pass.
I saw Millie Bobby Brown once hiking in LA.
Really?
Did you walk past her?
What the hell is Shane doing hiking in LA with Millie Bobby?
Let me point out, for the record and for the law, I wasn't walking with her because this was at the very start of Stranger Things.
Can you also
point
out for the law that you weren't following behind her either?
Yes, because we crossed paths.
Did she have like an entourage?
She didn't know with her. It was at the very... It was, I want to say, first or second season of Stranger Things. When
no
I,
hair?
I don't know. I want to say was wearing a baseball cap.
No, not you.
No, not me either.
Oh.
She was wearing a baseball cap.
Okay.
But I remember a few people were like, you know, out of your periphery, you see a few people. No, it could have been for me.
Yeah. It could have been like Stranger Things have happened, you know, what is LA.
I think it was. Bro, have you ever met any celebrities, famous people?
Have I ever met any?
Look around you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. The most famous person that I have met is actually afraid of me as well, a wee bit.
Who?
Jerry Adams.
Jerry's afraid of you.
Why?
Because I'm a scary bitch. Well,
because she was in the run, he wasn't.
I'll tell you a wee story.
Oh god.
The night that we graduated,
Jerry?
Not the night that I graduated. The night that I got my results from my university, I was in my friend's house, who lives in the same street as Jerry Adams. He lives a couple of doors up, and funnily enough, her mum is an MLA for Sinn Féin. They're all friends, okay. Right? And I got really, really drunk, and so did she. And we thought, not it is. We're fucking going out. We're going down into the town. We're going to go to Lavery's or something. Just get blocked. It's 11 o'clock. Everywhere I'll be open. So we're running down the street. We decided to throw a few eggs at her.
This came out of nowhere?
At her.
This egg situation?
Yeah, at somebody's car that we didn't like. Very mature. And as we were getting to the bottom of the street, this car pulled up. And it was being driven. And Jerry put his bad driver, you know. And Jerry put his window down and he sort of like was like, Aoife, you know. And then he opened his door and he went, congratulations, girls. I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but he basically congratulated us in Irish. And he was like,
she's not.
West Belfast is proud of you, you know, yada, 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 because he'd been talking to her. And he was like, you graduated and you did well and all the rest of it. And I went, Jerry, come here. I don't know why I sound like an old woman there. And I said to him, I have a song about you.
You've offended him.
I sing a song Dan's about walking. You, Jerry. And he was like, do you know? And I was like, yeah. And I was like trying to crawl on his knee, you know. Like trying to like,
and
know.
He just was like, no.
And I went, do you want to hear it? Well, you're hearing it anyway. And I went, I met him in a bar down the Lower Falls. He has a big grey beard and he looks just like Jerry Adams. And he couldn't wait to get away from us fast
enough.
Did
you make that up?
Yeah, like we were going, Jerry Adams. Yeah, it was a song that I always used to like start everyone singing, Jerry Adams. And he was like, oh, okay, cheerio, and say, drive on. And but I haven't seen him since.
The horror that man has faced, and you have made him drive on down the Falls Road.
Yeah, I woke up the next day and was like, do you think we should put like a sorry letter? And she went, you'll not be putting fucking anything through his door. No. Like, no way.
Unprofessionally record the song.
You should write sorry in white sheets and stick it up Davis Mountain.
Yeah.
First of all,
I'm sorry. Lo siento in Irish.
That's Spanish?
No.
All right.
Why did Dan walk out? You know why I walked out? Because he's having the process, the realization that he thinks I'm Casey Dutton out of Yellowstone.
That's maybe what Dan is. Dan is Jerry.
Dan is Jerry Adams.
I can't remember we're talking about him.
Jerry Adams.
Yeah. Here, what was Christmas like? Were we ones? Yours just 3-1.
It's good.
Oh, you're saying it was nice calmer than that?
Can I say every Santa that we visited, two or three, were brilliant?
Yes.
Really?
They've upped
really good. They've upped
game.
The Santa game
they
for have. Sure.
Did you see a few Santas this year? They all have real beards, don't they?
No! This is what I'm just about to say. This is my pet peeve when a Santa doesn't have a real beard.
Yeah. Right.
Find a guy with a beard.
Yes, Jerry Adams.
We went... Jerry Adams.
It's a way to build bridges.
Could have been Santa. Yeah, I'll invite him to do Santa Claus. No, fuck no.
Yeah.
We did the Polar Express and Sleep Donner, which was class.
This year?
See? Yeah. It was class, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to take the kids next time.
Huh? Did he have a real beard?
He had a fake beard.
But he was a
class Santa because we went to a Santa last year who literally we brought Winter in and he just... looked at her, did not speak to her, and I had to be like, Santa, do you want to know what she wants for Christmas? And he was all...
Nah.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and I was like, at least give her a ho-ho-ho.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He gave her nothing, and we had to be like... So, and I remember holding her going, does she sit in your knee, or what happens these days? And he was all, no, sit her beside me. And I was like...
It was like pulling teeth.
Can I tell you something cool?
Should have got a job as a tooth fairy instead of Santa. Yeah.
No, you won't like this because you did the Polar Express, and if this didn't happen to you, you won't like this.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't like it if this happened to you and I found it out.
Okay.
You go through, you get your photo taken.
Yeah.
They print it out and give you.
That happened.
This is the coolest thing
right.
that I've ever had. You know when someone's like, here, come here. Come here. We backhand her sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, say you go into a cafe or something, they're like, here, don't worry about that. And you go, no, come on. And they go, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling.
Photographer comes up to me 20 minutes later. We flash drive. Here he is. There's all your images.
Oh, you can take that home. That's a baller. Oh, I love that.
I said, it's a Christmas miracle.
How many pictures were there?
About four.
I know,
not enough to justify him parting with a hard drive.
Give me like a £15 flash drive.
Full 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
No, it's just a wee
USB.
Like that. Just a wee USB. Here.
Oh, yeah. We just had a wee old lady take
that's
our photographs.
Lovely.
And I remember sitting down beside Santa, looking across, going, now, maybe this photograph is just going to be from the nose up or something. And we're not all going to be in it. But they were class.
Now,
best photos ever.
Were they?
Yeah. And aww. Santa held Rocky and sat beside Winter. We got one of just Santa and the kids.
Oh. I love the scared photographs. This is going to sound terrible.
I have one of me with a
part
on my shoulder.
My wee boy was crying his eyes out in one of them and I just thought,
Dion,
like,
what's
that's
Christmas
brilliant.
No, I know. I have one. I'm about 12 and I'm on holidays.
All right. I thought you went on a Polar Express. No, we're like, here's a budgie, mate.
Here's a part.
It's the Pineapple Express. Do you know I was on my holidays and you go to...
I still don't get that.
it's just a holiday reference, but it's a show. But I was in Gran Canaria, and Joey, you go like, they bring birds and shit around, you know.
It's a bit old school, but yes.
Yeah. Around the pool, and you can get your photograph taken, and they take your photograph, and they like, charge you 30 quid. Yeah. Someone's on a bird on my shoulder. And in the photograph, I'm obviously trying to be like, keep it cool at the start.
Yeah.
And then just as they hit flash, it goes, Quah! And I go, I have to show you the photograph. I'm actually going,
can I tell you two embarrassing holiday photo type situations to me? Number one, if I can find it, I'll give you it and we can put it into this episode or we'll upload it or something. There's when I was 12, we were in Florida, and Hooters was a big thing then. Oh. And you were hearing about it. There's this place and there's all boobs and chicken and all.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god,
don't get it.
Two of my favorite things. And
what?
And I was like, this
butterfly
is
boob.
Butterfly boober. So I said, like, oh, can we go?
Yeah.
And we're like, we're going to Hooters, right? And there's a photo of me, and I'm the big man walking in, you know. I'm like, this is going to be unreal. I was like, I was 12. Right?
Yeah,
I was
like,
wait till the lads hear about this back home, the big man out in America. Like,
me
all these tits.
All these girls.
Whoever I was with in the family went, do you want to get a photo of you? And all the Hooters girls say, get a photo, you know, because the more people that put
it.
Photos, so they were like, go you in the middle, and it was like only one Hooters girl, and I was a bit like, oh, I'm starting to like go red.
Do you
go like,
in the middle of her boobs?
No, like, in like where they stand, there's like a place where they do photos, and I'm just in the middle, it's just me, and then there's this Hooters girl that's been our server, and I, the whole meal, I haven't looked at her, right? So the big man walks in, and then I'm like, so I can't look. Then she goes, girls. And there is a photo somewhere in my dad's house or my mum's house of me and maybe 12 Hooters girls.
Wow.
And I'm 12 years old in tinted sunglasses, right?
Oh, no.
Blue
stop
tinted
it.
Sunglasses. Yeah. And you've never seen
a henna tattoo.
And I'm trying to be so smooth.
Yeah.
But I can't handle it.
Yeah.
And they're all there, like all these blonde hair, big boob girls. And it's me at 12 with the tinted sunglasses on like this. And I'm like, I was like, I'm gonna show all the lads back.
Was your
home.
Face
I never
so red you could
light
a fag off it?
Oh, it was just, I just didn't know. I couldn't say any words. I didn't know where to look. And the other one was when I was about 8. I was really conscious about my looks because I used to get kind of bullied because I had really big teeth and big ears. And I went on holiday to Tenerife. And I was getting doing a caricature of me.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like, this is so much fun.
Did you do with small teeth and small ears?
No, he did it to scale. See, when he showed me and I started crying.
No, you didn't.
I did.
So he does like a normal portrait rather than a caricature version?
No, he does a caricature, but he doesn't like...
Take the piss out of you?
He doesn't focus on anything else other than my teeth and my ears. Like an 8-year-old child. And I saw
that's
it and
cruel.
I started crying.
Here.
That's awful.
Embarrassing photos.
You must
right.
agree into them.
I was out over Christmas with my best friend. We were in a bar in Belfast. And a fella came over. It was very busy. And he was talking to me. And my friend.
What bar?
Set the scene. Thirsty Goat.
Oh, right.
Dirty Onion. Next door to Thirsty Goat.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was like, he came over and he was like saying something in my ear. And my friend went, here, I'll take it. Because like maybe she's seen, like she's had to hold the camera a couple of times to take a photograph. I'll take it. Get your phone. Yeah. And the fella was all, what? And she was all, I'll take it. It was busy. The music was on. It was out. I'll take the photograph. Give me your phone. I'll do it. And then he was all,
scundered.
And I was all, whoa, no. He wants that still. And then I was all, don't ever fucking assume. Why
your mate's like, yes, get a photo of you in the stool.
Yeah. She would, I'd love if she was that savvy. And he was just like, I just want this still. And you two are so rare.
Oh,
go
my
away.
God.
Probably like 10 years ago, I was in El Divino. And I was there with my mate, John. And we're walking towards the bar and it was packed. Like, you couldn't move for people.
Yeah.
And this young guy came up to me. He's like, oh, Mike McGoldrick, can I get a photo? And I was like, of course, mate, 100%. You get a photo? I went, he goes, it's me and all my mates here. There's a crowd of like 8 of them. And I went, no problem. I said, let me go and tell my mate, John, where I'm going to be. Because he's going up to the bar. I'll go tell him and I promise you I'll come back. And the guy goes, you won't. Like, and I went, I swear to you I'll come back. Just give me 2 minutes because it's not fair to my mate.
Right.
I run up to my mate John, probably takes me like 5 minutes to snake through everyone. He's at the bar. I tell him what I want and I went, I'll meet you over here. Mm-hmm. I get back over to the place, looking around for the guy, clock him, go up to this guy, yes mate. He's like, all right. I was like, do you want to get a photo of me? And the guy's like, yeah. And I went, do you want to grab all your mates?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And I go, who's going to take it? And as I'm posing for a photo with like 12 dudes, I see the guy who wanted the photo in the first place across the room. I realise none of these guys have asked for a photo. So in their head, Mike McGoldrick's come up to them and went, suppose you all want a photo.
Oh my God.
The worst. The worst. Because I just remember the guys look no. after just being like,
oh my God. Scundered. Absolutely scundered. Do you ever wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and think about that?
No. But then I will this year because I'm going to panic more.
Yes, you're going to panic more. Absolutely. My
father-in-law 1 year emailed like Armagh Fair Festival. There was a festival on, like a parade.
Armagh Fair Festival?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And it was emailed them and was like, my daughter is that wee Ukrainian from Derry Girls, and my daughter-in-law and my son does Rodney. Could I set a booth up?
A booth?
People could come and pay a pound and get a photograph with him. And he emailed them that.
Did he mean
Sean's
it?
Da.
Sean's dad. And the
gets in touch with Armagh City, like the council.
This festival you've got coming up. Could I set up a thing, like a booth, and like Dion and Sean will stand there. He has not talked to us about this, obviously. Maybe people can pay a pound and get a photograph.
Was he trolling you? Was he doing this to go like, ha?
Dion would have said £2.
Yeah, the most embarrassing thing is they didn't email him back. They weren't interested. It's like, that's a steal. They were like, no.
Oh my God. No, thank fuck that thank God. The strange thing is as well that like people think that because you're a comedian that like you want to be famous or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I genuinely don't.
Yeah.
I actually just think it's like people knowing who you are is a byproduct of what we do.
Obviously,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I could.
There's a difference in wanting to be well known for what you do so you can do more of it and being like a celebrity or being famous
nothing, like, you know, you just want to be successful at what you do, but because if you are successful it means that some people know that like you talk about waxing your arsehole, you know, stuff like that, and it's kind of bizarre. Like I don't get that. I don't have that problem because I'm not famous at all, but
getting your arsehole waxed.
Getting the arsehole waxed.
I bet you the girl who waxes your arsehole knows your arsehole better than your face.
Yeah, but you know what? I do think about that sometimes. They're like, you know, looking, going, oh,
how mental that you do that job for long enough
and you don't think it's weird. And you come desensitized
to arses. You're like, there's a woman in all fours.
She really doesn't. She's so happy. She's so fucking happy about it. She's like, just pop onto your elbows there, love. Yep.
Is it sore every time or do you get used to it?
Do you know the first time you ever go, it's not really sore? It's definitely not sore the first time you go because your adrenaline is so high because you're so anxious that you do not feel the rips. But see, the more that you go and the more used to it you are and the less embarrassed, the more it hurts.
I honestly think after you've experienced childbirth too, you're just like, I can do any of the painful things.
You could literally...
Until they happen, then you're all, that's why it's sore.
Yeah. But honestly, like after childbirth, you do sort of just go like, honestly, you could boot me there. It's numb. I can't feel it. I've become so numb.
You've done it 4 times. That's mad.
Yeah, 3 C-sections though. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I heard
through the sunroof?
Yeah.
Through the sunroof, yeah.
Because your first one wasn't a C-section? Because I think isn't it like once you C-section... Once your papa can't stop,
that's it. The first one wasn't.
Is that right?
I think so. I think once you do a C-section, it's hard to then not do a C-section.
They do try and encourage. They call it VBAC.
Just, I think if you push the next time, that all might
can
pop
rupture.
Open.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But my first one, like, shame on... What is it they say? Shame on you if you fool me once.
No,
shame
they don't say that. That was worse
shame
than George
on me
Bush
if you
doing
fool
it
me twice.
Somehow.
Yeah, but that's what it was.
Fool me once, shame on you. Shame
no.
on me.
No. Yeah.
What?
Shame on you.
Shame on us.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
That's what I said.
Shame on you if you fool me once, shame on me if you fool me twice.
Didn't say that.
You're gaslighting us.
Have you ever seen George Bush do this?
I've taken the liberty of recording this conversation in case we need to check.
Have you seen George Bush doing this?
That exact thing.
Well, Dan stormed out so we can't get the clip up, but George Bush is giving a talk as president.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, there's an old saying in Texas, don't know if they have it in Tennessee.
Texas.
He said, fool me once. And like me at that gig, he's nothing to say. Halfway through it, he blanks. He goes,
that's that.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me. And then he gives up. He goes, fool me once, you can't get fooled again. It's the best.
For this?
It's the best.
Yes, can't get fooled again.
He just abandoned ship. He's like, I'm getting out of this.
Won't be fooled again.
I had to give a talk in the Mac in Belfast to young drama people.
Right.
It was their end of year awards thing and I had to just talk about like being a performer and what I'd done and this. It was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And I got up and had nothing to say. And it was 10 minutes of me with nothing. All cliches and all. At the end of the day, a rising ship.
Yeah.
You know, yes. You know what to say. I don't need to finish it.
Yeah. Was Pete Snowden doing that too?
A bird in the hand's
worth two in the hole. Was he like DJing or something, hosting it?
Don't know.
Oh, yeah, you have to get up and just sort of... See, I would love... I've always wanted to be one of those people that gets invited to speak at something. Most of the places that I attended wouldn't admit to having me as a student.
Right.
But, like, I remember my secondary school was amazing, like, in that the President of Ireland, Mary McAleese, went there. So you can't beat that. Like, yeah. I remember her coming and giving a speech, and I was sitting there going, fuck's sake, she's ruined it for me. Because no matter what I do, I'm not going to get invited back to do a speech.
Nadine Coyle and Lisa McGee went to my school.
Did they?
Bastards. Pretty fucked.
They're stealing all the glory, do you know what I mean?
It's pretty shit for
me. Yeah, so, like, I'm not going to be able to go back there and go, like, look what I did.
I did a talk one time to students about, like, you know, being a performer and all that sort of stuff as well. But they were like, if you could come with a slideshow of, like, basically bring your show reel and show them and you like clips of stuff you've done.
You were like, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll bring a booth and you'll pay a pound.
Yeah. Very good, very good.
I would go back to my primary school, do something, shout at Strandtown, give me a shout, but they're not interested.
Would you be more interested in going back to your primary school than your secondary school?
Yeah, because there's a drama department in my secondary school and I wouldn't know what to tell them about drama.
Mm-hmm. Any famous people from your school?
Gary Lightbody.
Oh really? Tell me.
Away from here.
Here. Very good. Yes, Gary.
That's the only line I can do.
Here.
Yeah, there's no point then, is there?
No.
Yeah, but you could be.
Everyone
would
be like, where's Gary?
That goes back.
Yeah.
No, I would just be.
I remember when Run came out, the Snow Patrol's first like proper hit, our English teacher was like, played it for us on an old PC, with wee PC speakers. Yeah. And he went, this guy went here, and no one had heard the song. And I was like, that's pretty good. And then it just blew up.
Grey's Anatomy made Snow Patrol. Now this it has to be, because they're a big American show and they use that song. Kurt, my husband, calls it the show that is the best at putting the saddest song alongside the saddest scene.
Right.
But it is, if you need a good cry, watch seasons 1-3.
Is there a song that makes you cry genuinely? Like if you heard it, you cry.
Currently Billie Eilish, what was I made for?
Oh. I don't know any of her songs, but the sorry.
Dude, that sounded like Joe and Step Brothers where they go
I did VTAS, right. Which is not this one, you know that one?
Yeah.
I did that, which isn't Billie Eilish hasn't done that.
Yeah.
But that makes what's the song called?
What was I made for? It's the Barbie theme tune.
Oh.
Theme tune to the Barbie. Oh, it's got like it's an onion. There's layers, and she sings it so beautifully, and I'm going to use it in my next show.
I saw a wee meme that said, rewinding that part of your sad song because you didn't feel as sad as you were expecting to feel when you listened to it. You know, whenever you go like...
Oh, yeah. Right, when I clock a song that makes me feel sad or watch a video on YouTube, like usually like a child being reunited with their dad from the army or something like that there, and I want to cry my eyes out and all, I like save the links to them in like a folder in my phone for like...
When you want to be sad?
When I have to act sad.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, when somebody needs me to be sad for something, I'll be like, I'll be with you in a minute. And then I'll just watch a wee video where a child being mean, and I'll be like, I'm ready.
Have you ever heard Snow Patrol, What If This Is All The Love You Ever Get?
No.
From their last album.
The title in itself sounds absolutely
it is
impressive.
An unbelievable song.
Really?
An unbelievable, I think their best ever song. And I don't even know if it was a single or anything, but it was on the album.
Wow.
And it's that and then, have you heard Monsters by James Blunt?
That is the saddest song ever.
How is that
so
not
sad.
One of the biggest songs
the
of all time?
Oh my God.
What about him and the fella who won The Voice singing
it
together?
Stop it.
And he sings it for his actual daddy. His daddy. Right. Oh my God.
It's brilliant.
So sad. And he's fucking brilliant too, that guy. I can't remember his name, but he's amazing.
It is very, very touching.
Also, do you know that one? Standing on a platform.
Watching you go.
Her?
Yeah, she's brilliant.
I love
brilliant.
That song too. That makes me
writing.
Cry. Writing.
I think I'm lost without you.
Yeah.
And somebody like stopped at the platform of, there's a piano in,
yeah, I hate that.
You know, in the station in London, but they actually started play, I think it was Freya Riding herself.
Mm.
like nobody realised it was her, and she just started playing it, and it was so beautiful because of the acoustics.
How much of a mug would that be if you're the person who does the song and you start and you're waiting for everyone to be like, no, and everyone just passes you?
Yeah.
You're like, guys, it's me, you did the song.
You know what that's like? Do you ever see whenever like they throw in somebody who's actually really famous, they audition for like The Voice, and the judges meant they turn around and be like, oh my god, it's Rita Ora.
Yeah.
And they turn, and nobody turns around, they turn afterwards and they're all, so that was a lovely song, no, well done.
There's clearly a and they go, here's a thing. I knew it was you, so I didn't turn just for because I know you love a bit
of
that.
The one that breaks my heart is when Jessie J, whatever voice, it was, and she didn't turn around for your fella Sean from Five.
Right.
And he was class, but she turned around and she was all, oh my God, I have you, like you were on my wall, I fancied, you were the one I fancied out of Five, and you were a poster on my wall, and she didn't turn around for him. And you sort of felt so fucking bad because they've like, it takes a lot of courage to try and do a comeback.
Yeah.
Do you know who has one of the best ever voice auditions? Connor Scott from Belfast.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Plays guitar.
Connor's from, I want to say, West Belfast.
Oh, really?
And he was on The Voice years ago.
Yeah.
And sang, fuck, what was the song? He's unbelievable. Like, the way he plays guitar and his voice is just brilliant during it.
Right, I must listen. I love watching auditions, though.
I do.
You know, especially you get the feels whenever somebody makes it. And you get, do you know there's only a specific type of person that gets goosebumps whenever you're listening to music? And usually if you...
I don't think I do.
There was some test, there was some study that was done, and it is all about like your perception of music and where in your brain you process it.
Aye.
And like if you get goosebumps when you listen to music, you're like one of a select.
Well, you must make an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm. I do. I always wanted to make music videos. Like even whenever I'm writing, say you're writing a play or whatever, and you listen to a bit of music and you go, fuck me, that's amazing.
Do you know what gets me every time? Pitbull, Give Me Everything.
What's that?
Give me everything.
Yeah, right. Put
tonight.
You down with a Kodak, buddy.
Right, the same thing. Like Kodak.
You with a Kodak.
Did you ever? I remember regularly going up to Derry.
Does that tear you up? I did.
It's just the thought of him taking pictures and all.
Did you ever hear Damien Rice, Nine Crimes?
Yeah.
I used to go up to Derry with my head on the side of the bus on the 312 when I was at uni, just like looking out the window and just pretending I was in the music video. And just
God,
like,
I'll tell you what, I bet you there was always a free seat beside you.
Yeah. Do you know how you make sure you get the free? Nobody will sit beside you on the bus if you do this. Every person that comes on, go. And they'll all just put their head down and walk right past you.
That's amazing.
I was going to say, what have you got coming up? Do you only have 12 plays, a tour, lots of things?
Sunny everything.
To take it back. Sunny Side Up is the next thing. Yeah, April in the Lyric. It's a one-woman dark comedy starring and written by me. About IVF, fertility. It's a fun time. And then my stand-up tour is directly after that. Got MILF.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I love that you actually got your daddy out.
We'll hold
the
it there.
Well.
I'll be back on before I need to push the other stuff at the end of the year. We'll stop at summer. That's the two things.
And you're going to arrange the tour?
Yes,
and
I'm
then when we get confirmation that, come back on and we'll properly talk about it.
Yeah, some of the venues don't post that picture.
Do they not?
No, they post one of the other pictures.
I like
options.
The picture with the boobie. With the breast like, pump that's really so like, good.
But you didn't see your nipple.
You can't see anything. They have a plaster over
you
it
can't.
On purpose, so you can't see it. You can't even see the plaster either. But like,
what can you see?
Just the fact that there's a breast pump there and like nothing else.
But that's the thing with local old school
people.
Venues. You know what I mean?
The same type of people that told Rihanna to put some clothes on and take herself off with that music video. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That she was making here.
Well, she had a full tits out in the field. But
yeah.
And also Sean and I's podcast, Meet the Parents.
Yep.
We've just started a few months
ago. On my podcast, Word Up, if you're interested in listening. I have a theme too. You need to get you on.
I know what you keep saying.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
we'll figure
definitely.
It out.
Yeah, I know. We're all podcasters.
We should put all our kids in like a room.
Pod crash?
Yeah.
Pod crash.
Oh my God. If someone's going to start that at you, please start a pod crash.
Oh my God,
I'm not starting
do.
A pod crash.
No, go. Start a pod crash.
No,
there's
I'm not
so many rooms
crash.
In this building.
That would be awesome.
It would do serious business.
I reckon
serious.
You could get funding from like.
Kieran government. Dressed up as Mr. Tumble.
Oh my God, yes. Want to see a spotty bag, kids? Right, let's not.
Guys, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Happy New Year. I hate saying that. I don't
happy
mean it.
I, when do you stop saying Happy New Year?
But here's the thing. Like, I want you to have a good day every day.
Yeah.
I want you to have a good day every day. So there's nothing special about this year that I'm like specifically
no,
have a good year.
No, this is the year.
I hope you had a good year last year. I hope you have a good year this year and next year.
Sorry, before we finish up, what are your resolutions? Oh, I panic more.
Panic more.
Panic more.
Panic more.
I can help with that. I think we should stage a show up at his house or something. Like, your new carpet's lovely.
We'll grab your kids at a house in the middle of the night and tar and feather them in the back of a
car. Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey guys, don't worry about it.
We'll bring them back.
I'll panic. Yes. Thank you very much to everybody for watching and listening. ShaneTalkComedy.com for my tour and the Mysteries live show. When is it, Fosty? He doesn't know either. The inmates are running the asylum. And I'll leave you with this. As they say, if you fool me once, and then if you try it again, you won't be, well,
won't get fooled again. Won't get fooled again.
One, two, three. Good afternoon.
See the West Link.
That is the horniest thing I've ever heard.
Aww.
Marvin, bring daddy some of those chicken and waffles.
Mr. Potter.
I feel gushy.
This is unbelievable.
This is absolute chaos.
Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.